Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We do have something to sing about here tonight. You know, it was so important that the children of Israel had blood on the doorpost when the death angel was going to pass by before they left Egypt. And you know, if the blood wasn't there, they would have been, you know, they would have lost their eldest child. And so it is. The Lord has made a way that that blood could be applied to our hearts. Praise the Lord. And what a wonderful thing it is, you know, to know that that blood that He shed on the cross prevails. You know, it saves us from our sins. We'll just call upon the name of the Lord and embrace His promises and do His will. Praise the Lord, our wonderful God. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to pray as we begin here tonight and ask God to have His way. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, again we thank You for this privilege. We thank You, Lord, oh Lord, for this opportunity that we can come before Thee, Lord, that we can open up Thy Word, oh Lord, and oh God, we can embrace it, Lord. We can apply it to our hearts, Lord. And I just pray, oh Lord, that You would work in us tonight. I pray, oh God, that You would move in a very special way, Lord. And oh God, I pray that You would bring us to that higher ground, that You'd set us free from those things that, oh Lord, beset us. Oh God, help us, oh Lord, to learn how to run this race with patience, Lord. And oh God, to always look unto Thee, Lord. Oh God, we need You here tonight, Lord. I pray that Your word would have free course, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that You give me the words and the anointing, the unction that comes from Thee, Lord. I pray that You would speak to our hearts, Lord. Oh God, that we might be edified, that we might grow in Thee, Lord. Oh God, that we might learn of Thee, Lord. Oh God, that the praise, the glory, the honor would all go to Thee, Lord. Oh Jesus, for Thou hast saved us. Thou hast rescued us, Lord. Thou brought us out of that deep miry clay, Lord. Oh Jesus, that pit, oh Lord, that we were all in at one point. We thank You, Jesus. I pray that You'd speak here tonight. I pray, oh God, that You would move in a very special way, Lord. I pray that You'd move in hearts. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that Your presence would come down. Oh Lord, that You'd touch us, Lord, for You know the things that we have need of, Lord. Oh God, I pray that You'd help those, oh God, who are struggling, Lord. Pray that You'd help those that have not yet come unto Thee, Lord. Oh God, I pray, oh God, that You'd, oh Lord, help those that have pain and suffering, Lord Jesus, who need deliverance of one sort or the other, Lord. Oh God, that You would move here tonight. Oh God, that You would minister, Lord. Oh God, that Your Spirit would fall, Lord, so we could be filled, oh, to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, help us tonight, for You know the needs. Oh, God, far and near, Lord, You know the needs of Your people, Lord. And I pray that You'd work a very special way here tonight, Lord, that Your word, oh, God, not be bound, but let it have free course. Oh, God, let it do that which, oh, Lord, You've determined it to do, Lord. Oh, God, for it is in Thy hands. Oh, God, oh, Lord, You know all things. We know all things are subject unto Thee. Oh, God, we bring it before Thee in the name of Jesus, asking that You'd use it. Oh, God, that You'd show me what I should say, Lord, and help me, Lord. Help all of us, oh, God, to have ears to hear, Lord. And, oh, God, a heart to perceive, oh, Lord, that which You'd have us to know. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank our God. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, here we are. It's another opportunity. It's another night. The summer is going so quickly. And so is time. You know, the years just roll by. I sometimes am so surprised. I'll be looking back at papers or sorting through stuff or whatever. And here's something, you know, from 2017. And it seems like yesterday, you know. And, you know, maybe something back from 2005 or, you know, way back in the 20th century, perhaps, and you know, oh my, all I know is, wow, time is moving, and things have changed in this world. We've seen dramatic changes, but we know that our God is the same, and oh yes, just as He said that He would come, that He would return, you know, so He will, the same Jesus that was seen to go into heaven will someday, one day, soon come back. Oh yes, to receive His people, and oh yes, to deliver us from this world. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Oh, praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God has given us a reason to live. You know, He's given us something deeper than this world. And, you know, we realize as we live this life that we're living to give Him glory, to give Him praise, to give Him honor, that, you know, this life is given over to Him. When we give our lives to Jesus, we're turning our lives over to Him so that He might take us and make us what we ought to be, to make us something that would be honorable in His sight, something that He can accept. When we stand before Him, and you know, it takes a lot of work. Oh yes, we all come to Him with our rough edges and with all our past and all our backgrounds and, you know, the heavy load of sin that was upon our backs and, you know, lack of understanding, so many things that we needed to know. But praise the Lord, what a wonderful thing that the Lord has brought us this way. And now we live unto Him. We live to give Him glory and praise and honor. Praise the Lord that our lives, oh yes, would be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him, which is our reasonable service. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to call this message, "Not Unto Us Give Glory, Not Unto Us." Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to just turn to a few verses here. And as we begin here tonight, let's just go to a familiar passage here, Psalms 29 here, read a couple verses. Praise the Lord, Psalms 29. Praise the Lord, it's the Psalm of David, it tells us. And here it is, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Praise the Lord. You know, something that we can all do. Praise the Lord. We can give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto His name. And we sang all those songs tonight about worshiping Him, praising Him, giving Him our hearts. You know, all that name that is above every name. All these songs that, you know, give Him praise and glory. And so it should be with our lives, that, oh, this is something that we can render unto the Lord. We can give Him, oh, the fruit of our lips, the praises that come forth from our mouth, from our inner being, our thoughts, all of those things we can give unto the Lord. And so that's how we give unto Him glory and strength, the glory due unto His name. And oh, yes, to worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Oh, that life that is separated from the world, a life that has been given over to the living God. Praise the Lord. He sees that so we can be, oh yeah, we can worship Him in purity. Oh yes, with a strength that He only can give us. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of our wonderful God. Amen. Let's turn to another familiar psalm here, Psalm 115. Praise the Lord. And I guess I get my title from this verse here. It says, verse 1 here in Psalms 115, it says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy and for Thy truth's sake." You know, so many people want to take the glory for themselves. You know, they do something, you know, all their credentials, all the letters after their name, all their accomplishments, and, you know, all the things that people do to, you know, to show that, you know, they have some learning, that they have some significance, that they've gone through some hoops, I guess you could say, or whatever, all just to be important, I guess. But, you know, glory, the praise, doesn't belong to us. If we've been able to do anything at all, it's because of God, because He gave us strength, He gave us ability. You know, He made it possible. We could do nothing without the Lord. And so, yes, the psalm declares, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but rather unto thy name, unto that name, that saving name, give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, it says in verse 2 here, wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? You know, the heathen, most people, you know, they're going to look for something that they can see, that they can visualize to worship. It's why people worship the sun, they worship the moon, you know, they might worship the stars, you know, they might worship an animal. And yes, a lot of them make unto themselves images that they bow to, that, you know, they acknowledge as some kind of God. And so often people don't get it. You know, where is our God? You know, what is this? You know, you're worshiping. You know, why are there no sibyls in this church? You know, why? But, you know, we don't have to. Our God is in the heavens. Oh, and yes, as it tells us in verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. We can't see him, but by faith we know he exists. And praise the Lord for that knowledge that he's given us. Oh yes, they're not going to see our God with their eyes. But oh, praise the Lord, he makes it clear there. Oh, it's a creation. Oh, and there has to be a creator. And praise the Lord that he has made himself real to us, that he has revealed himself unto us so that we can acknowledge him, we can praise him, we can worship him. Oh, yes, we can render unto him the fruit of our lips, giving praises to our God, praising the Lord and worshiping him. And so the psalmist said, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throats. It tells us in verse 8, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Oh, praise the Lord. It tells us in verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Ye are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any they that go down into silence, but praise the Lord for verse 18. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. And yes, we know that it's one eternal chorus, one eternal praise. I know, oh yes, when we rule and reign with the Lord Jesus, that, oh my, those praises will forever be in our hearts. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, the glory, the praise is not due us by any means. It's not due human flesh. But it's due unto the Lord. Yes, and oh how unto his name we want to give glory for his mercy and for his truth's sake. Oh, praise the Lord. What a mighty God we serve. Praise Almighty God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm turning now to Isaiah, the 42nd chapter here. And oh, this is an exciting chapter indeed. Praise the Lord. And it's very prophetic in its utterance. And it's talking about he who would come forth. It's talking about the Messiah. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. Here as it begins, And we're not planning to read the whole chapter, but let's look at verse 1. It says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath sent judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law." Praise the Lord. And I think that's so beautiful. Yes, it was quoted in the 12th chapter of Matthew. And that's a beautiful place too, where, oh yes, it was repeated that, you know, this was prophetic, an utterance that pertained to the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. And praise the Lord, he did, you know, oh boy, he had to sit on a platform and you know, have a megaphone or microphone or some kind of device to be heard. He didn't have to shout, you know, oh, the multitudes found him for his wonderful, mighty works unto the children of men. But praise the Lord, you know, and it tells us, you know, he was going to break those that were bruised. You know, a bruised reed shall he not break. And not like that. All those, you know, came unto him with their infirmities, with their diseases, with their needs, with their burdens. You know, they all came to Jesus, and he didn't break them because they were bruised. But instead, he healed them. He restored them. Oh, he made them whole. Praise the Lord. Yes, I like that. Praise the Lord. And you know, the smoking flax, it said, shall not be quenched. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That judgment was already set forth. And oh, yes, it was already in play. And that wasn't going to be quenched, because what he was bringing forth, oh, would lead to that day when, oh, he comes to judge this earth in righteousness. Praise the Lord. And, oh, it's all set in motion at this point. And I like verse 4, too, because it says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged. You know, oh, boy, if we're human, we know what discouragement is. We know, you know, how it is to be hindered. And a lot of times, you know, these things, you know, distract us and hinder us and cause us, you know, maybe to, you know, be set back. But, you know, although Jesus had many setbacks in many ways and many words were said to him that could have discouraged him, attitudes and spirits and, you know, mean things that were said unto him. But yet, you know, he was not discouraged. He did not fail. He did not stop. He was not hindered because of the actions, because of the words of other people. Praise the Lord. It was deep within him. I'm going to accomplish that which I have come forth to do. Oh, the will of the Lord is going to be accomplished. That goal which has been determined is going to come forth. Praise the Lord. And yes, he came with that attitude, and oh, nothing stopped him. Oh, yes, he did spend, you know, nights in prayer, and I'm sure there were, oh, many things that, you know, could have set him back. But he kept on going. Praise the Lord. He kept on working. He kept on bringing forth the will of God and doing what was ordained, those things that must be accomplished. So it says, he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. And oh, yes, it's going forth. Oh, time is going on. It seems like, as we said earlier, that it's just moving along so fast. But it's going toward that day of reckoning, that day when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when he comes back to this earth to judge the world in righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. and the isle shall wait for his law. Oh, praise the Lord. It was in the hearts of people, you know, even Gentile people, people you maybe couldn't have even imagined, who were waiting, who were hungry, who were thirsty, who wanted something to quench that thirsting in their soul. They were waiting for the deliverer to come, for the Messiah, for somebody to bring forth that eternal law. Praise the Lord. It says in verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant to the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Oh, praise the Lord, the creator of this universe. Oh, the one who created the heavens and stretched them out. The one that spread forth the earth and oh, all that comes forth from it. Oh, yes, he that gives breath to the people that walk upon it in spirit. Oh, yes, to them that walk upon it. Oh, yes, praise the Lord, that God. Oh, yes, he has come forth to bring forth, oh, yes, his covenant. His covenant in his blood that he was going to bring forth to deliver us, to save us, and as a light even to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yes, that call in righteousness. Oh, I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee. I love the promises of God. Oh, praise the Lord. We can cling to them. We can hold to them. Praise the Lord. And it tells us in verse 7 to open the blind eyes. And I like this too, to bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Oh, those that were in captivity, and we were all under the bondage of sin. Oh, yes, we were all, you know, in that sort of captivity. And praise the Lord. Oh, the Lord came forth so we didn't have to have those disgusting chains around ourselves. Oh my, all those things that kept us away from God. He came to snap those chains, to deliver us from bondage, to take us out of the house of the prison. Oh yes, praise the Lord, that's what he came. He came to deliver us, to set us free, to bring us hope. Oh yes, oh, to make us free in the Lord Jesus, to make us free from sin. Praise the Lord. And then verse 8, oh, it says, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm going to stop there, but oh, yes. Oh, the Lord who called us out, the Lord who created this world. And oh, yes, the Lord who put on flesh to come to this world. Oh, yes, that he might save us. Oh, yes, that he might die, not taking the form of angels. Oh, yes, as Samuel was saying on Sunday, oh, no, it wasn't a spirit being, but he came as a man, as flesh and blood, that he might save us from our sins. Praise the Lord. And yes, indeed, he has declared, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Oh my, we need to give everything to God. Oh, we need to give him the praise that is so due him, the respect, the honor that is so due him. Oh, and never to something idolatrous. Oh, neither to graven images. Oh, we don't ever want to give our heart to anything that, oh yes, is of this earth. But rather, to give that glory, to give that praise unto the one who made us. Oh, the one who brought us here tonight. The one who has set us free and given us hope. Oh, the one that, oh, we will live with forever in eternity. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise our wonderful God. Praise the Lord. Such a need to give glory and praise unto the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. If we turn to another place in Isaiah, actually the 10th chapter here for a few moments. There's something else I'd like to bring out in this 10th chapter here. And I'm going to start with verse 5 here. It says, O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. I will send him against an hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge to take the spoil and to take the prey, to tread them down like the mire of the streets. And of course, the Lord did allow the Assyrians to come and take the 10 northern tribes away. Oh yes, in 722 BC, Sargon II came on in and took it over. Praise the Lord, they were carried off. But that was God's judgment, and it was because God had ordained, and you know, it was because he had tried to get their attention, and nothing seemed to work. And they were still serving their idols. They were still far from God. They were all full of iniquity and sin. And so he allowed, God Almighty allowed and ordained the Assyrians to come in as his rod, to chastise them, to punish them, to do his will. And so, yes, it was God who sent them in. It wasn't coincidental. You know, it wasn't because of their great might or power. It was because God allowed them to do it. So, yes, he says, I will send him against a hypocritical nation. They were pretenders, you know. They might have called themselves, you know, Jews and you know, and pretended that, you know, they served God. But their hearts were far from God. And they were serving idols, and they were doing all kinds of things that were abominable in the sight of God. And God saw it, and you know, they had not turned. So he was going to allow the Assyrians to come in against a hypocritical nation, against the people of my wrath. He says, will I give him a charge to take the spoil, to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets? It happened. Says in verse 7, howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few. For he saith, are not my princes altogether kings? Is not Calno as Carchemish? Is not Hamath as Arpad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? You know, I've taken this place. You know, what's the other? It's same. You know, if I could take that, and then it's, you know, like unto the other. And you know, there was a bit of pride here. You know, because the Assyrians, you know, thought they were doing it because of their might, their power. It says, as my hand hath found the kingdoms of the idols, in whose graven images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? If God had judged heathen people because of their idolatry, and of course, you know, that was the purpose when they went into Canaan land. They were, you know, God wanted them to be a holy nation. And to serve him and him only. And because, you know, they begin to do things that pertained unto the heathen. And worship their idols and other abominable works. Then, you know, how was he going to spare them if they were as bad as the heathens? Or maybe even worse. So he's declaring here, shall I not, as I have done unto Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? And because, you know, Judah, Jerusalem, the southern kingdoms, they should have observed when God allowed the Assyrians to come and take away those northern tribes. You know, Judah and Benjamin should have observed and got right with God. But, you know, they didn't take warning, they didn't take heed. And we know, oh yes, down the road, yes, the Babylonians came in to take them off too. It continues here in Isaiah 10, verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. Okay, so God had allowed Sargon II, his armies, to come in and take those northern tribes away. And down the road, those several years, you know, he allowed Nebuchadnezzar and his men to come in to take away the southern tribes. But, you know, God is going to turn around because, you know, the Assyrian king thought it was because of his might and of his power, his high looks and everything else. And so God's going to turn things around after a while. You know, he allowed them to punish his people. But, you know, that didn't make them right. That didn't make them holy. You know, that didn't get them off the hook, so to speak. They still had their own wayward ways. They were full of sin. Oh, they were full of devils. They, you know, and God had not ignored it. He had not overlooked it. So it was going to come to pass, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. And here, okay, you see the problem here. If you look at this next verse, verse 13, for he saith, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. I have removed the bounds of the people, and I have robbed their treasures, and I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man, and my hand hath bound as a nest the riches of the people. And as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth. And there was none that moved the wing or opened the mouth or peeped. It seemed, you know, they were going strong. The Assyrians, when they came in, yes, they conquered a great stretch of the world. And you know, that pride that entered in, you know, thinking it was because of their strength and because of their wisdom. Oh, they were prudent, you know, and they had, you know, come in and overtaken these people and robbed them of their treasures and put those inhabitants down. Oh, yes, and all of this, and, you know, gathered their riches like, you know, one would gather eggs that are left in a nest. And, you know, it was like, you know, there was nobody to take them over. There was none that moved the wing or opened the mouth or peeped. You know, their pride here. Oh, it says in verse 15, shall the axe boast itself against him that hewed therewith? Or shall the saw magnify itself against him that shaketh it, as if the rod would shake itself against them that lift it up, or as if the staff should lift up itself, as if it were no wood? Oh, they were just instruments, and you know, but taking pride, you know, like a rod, thinking, oh, just my rod, you know, and you know, the staff, you know, that's used to lean on all at once, you know, just, you know, thinking that they were the instruments that, you know, caused the accomplishments. But that's how God saw the people. God had allowed the Assyrians to come in and overtake the Hebrew people. God had allowed it. It was because they were his instrument. God had brought it to pass. He is in charge. And yes, you know, it's all going to turn on them. And certainly that day did come. They were overtaken and their kingdom came to a halt. It came to an end. Oh yes, the Assyrians were taken over by the Babylonians. And the Babylonians were eventually taken off too. And just as we just read here in Isaiah 10, how God was going to turn things around and you know, bring the Assyrians down. So he was going to do that with Babylon. You want to turn with me right now to Daniel. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to a couple places in Daniel here. Praise the Lord. The Lord severely dealt with Nebuchadnezzar, we know. And as the years went by, his grandson, Belshazzar, also became king. Fifth chapter of Daniel tells us this story. And it tells us of this event when, Belshazzar, the king, thought he was going to make a great feast to his thousands of lords, and he was going to drink wine before the thousand. They were going to have quite a party. They were going to have quite an event here. And somehow it came to his corrupt mind, to go into the place where the golden and silver vessels that his father, or literally grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem when the Babylonians had come in and brought Jerusalem down, destroyed the temple and everything else. And so somehow it came to him in his foolish mind, and I'm sure he was already most likely drunken already, but let's just do one more thing. Let's bring in the golden and silver vessels that had been in the temple of the living God. And so, yes, they did this. They brought those golden vessels unto him. And it tells us in that third verse that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines drank in them. And not only they drank wine, but they also praise the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. And I'll tell you what, there was something they didn't know as they were having their big heyday, as they were having their big event, their party, and so drunken that, they probably could hardly sit still. But you know what? God saw it all. God had witnessed this event, and how they had taken vessels that had been dedicated to the living God. Things that were holy, they had taken them, and now they had defiled them. God saw it. There are things that are precious to the Lord. And yes, when we come to the Lord and we give our lives to Him, we become a chosen vessel of the Lord, and we become holy unto God. And that's why He sets us apart as a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen people, peculiar people, that would bring forth His praises. But He doesn't want us to do the things that are abominable in His sight. Oh, yes, it brings, what can I say? Great anger even to the Lord to see things that are precious in His sight defiled. And we give our lives to God, and there are certain things that we must refrain from doing. There are, certain apparel that we must not wear. There's a lot of things that we must not watch. There are words that we must not say because we become children of God, and our whole body is, our whole spirit is to be given over to Him. Something that is dedicated to the Lord. Amen. But here in Babylon, Belshazzar had taken those golden and silver vessels that were dedicated unto God, now they were defiled. God saw it. God had witnessed it. And it tells us in verse 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Can you imagine this? All at once he sees, these fingers writing on the wall. And all at once he realizes, uh-oh. It says, then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him so that the joints of his loins were loosed. Oh, something was very scary. Something was very wrong. And he was so full of fear that his knees began to smite one against the other. Oh, he saw those fingers writing on the wall. It says the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be a third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing or make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Or astonished, it says, but meaning astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. And yes, he was brought in. And, you know, I'm going to skip a little portion here. But go down to verse 17, because all these gifts were, you know, going to be given to him if he could give the interpretation. But Daniel said in verse 17, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and the majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he kept alive, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Oh, the very strong point here. Oh, that God is in charge. God had allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come and establish that kingdom. Oh, to take it over and to do what he did. It was because God had allowed it. But you know, his heart was lifted up with pride, and we know that story, how, you know, God in mercy really allowed him to be driven off into the fields, and to eat grass like an oxen, and you know, to, it was like he was insane, until somehow his reasoning came back to him. God somehow showing him mercy that, you know, he could acknowledge that there was a God in heaven, and God had placed him on that throne, that God had allowed him to do the accomplishments that he had done. It was because of God. But Belshazzar, although he must have been familiar with that story, had not considered it. and how important it is, you know. Oh, you know, our mother, our dad, our grandparents might be servants of God. But, you know, that doesn't mean that because mother and dad serve the Lord, that automatically as their child, that, you know, you're already in there, you know, you're also in the kingdom of God. No, we all, no matter what, you know, it could be, you know, one's wife or one's husband, one's uncle, who knows, the neighbor, you know, whoever it is. But still, no matter what acquaintances you may have, what relatives, whatever connections you may have, you still need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. You need to turn your knees down to God and turn your heart to Him and give your life over to Him, to acknowledge your sin and your guilt, your shame, and to come before Him in repentance. Oh, it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, or what your reputation is, or what you've accomplished as a human being. The need is the same. The need to surrender the heart to the living God, to give your life to God, to turn it over to Him, to repent. Oh, yes! To realize the great need. Oh, to serve the living God. Belshazzar, though he had such an example in his background, oh, he's being told here by Daniel in verse 22 here in this fifth chapter of Daniel. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives, thy concubines, have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Oh, he didn't give heed. He didn't surrender his heart. He went on his own way and did those wicked things that were in his heart. And now he is in trouble. He is in trouble. God has spoken. God is going to judge those figures have written on the wall. And this is what they said. It tells us in verse 24, then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, many, many, Tinkle, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing, many. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tinkle, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Peris, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they called Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Oh my, we never want to get to that place where we've rebelled in our hearts so strongly against God that, oh, it's over, it's over. But this is how it was for Belshazzar. He had gone, oh, to the last degree, put it, that God was going to allow. And now his kingdom was numbered. It was finished. He was weighed in the balances. He was found wanting. And his kingdom was divided and was given to the Medes and Persians. Oh, such a thing. But you know, God allowed it. I turned right here to the 17th chapter of Revelation. You know, we are living in these times. And I thank God that, you know, we know that God is in control. Oh, we know that He reigneth. And we know that He is coming back. And we see the things that are upon this earth and coming to pass. It tells us here in the 17th chapter of Revelation, as that beast, oh yes, was seen. And this period of time was upon the earth. It tells us in verse 12, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." I believe this is talking about the uniting of the nations of the world. It says in verse 13, "These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For He is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. And He saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire." And of course, these times are coming. We're seeing the makings of it right now. We're seeing, you know, hearts that are given over to the beast system and, you know, rebellious, wicked people that are walking this earth with a mindset that does not please the Lord. But God has allowed it. For it tells us in the 17th verse here, "For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill His will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Oh my, oh yes, all these things. And yes, the whore coming down. And oh yes, is that the religious system? Is that the great harlot? Oh, is that the Roman Catholic system and all the elements that are joined together with her in this end time? But it's because God hath put it in their hearts. It's all to fulfill His will. And all of this agreement, this coming together, we're seeing so many things in this world today. But oh, I thank God, I praise God. Oh, it helps me to know that God is in charge. And oh yes, He allowed Sargon II to come in and take over those 10 northern tribes. He allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take those 2 southern tribes. And so it is at this end time scenario. Oh yes, that day will come. But it's all in God's hands. Oh, it's all according to His will. And you know, He is the one that determines the things at hand. Oh yes, He is the one. Oh yes, that is in charge. And I like, you know, the 4th chapter of Daniel. It's just a little verse here that you know, Nebuchadnezzar came to realize in the 4th chapter of Daniel, prior to the reading in the 5th chapter, really. But this is what came to Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, he had seen the vision and all, and it was interpreted. But this is what came to him after God dealt with him. And yes, you know that Nebuchadnezzar was cut down, just as we read in the 5th chapter, and you know, driven away. His heart was changed from man's and given a beast heart, until 7 times passed over him, as it tells us in the 16th verse. But God used that to bring Nebuchadnezzar to that place where he could give God glory, where he could acknowledge God. And here he says in verse 17, "This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the bases of men." Oh my, the understanding that came to him. And that was by God's mercy and grace, that he would understand that there is a God in heaven. A God, oh yes, that put this earth into motion. Oh yes, and that, oh, created all that there is in this world. A God who has put a place within our very beings, a place that is reserved unto him, a place of that we have reserved, as I said, to give him honor, to give him praise. Oh, yes. To give him our hearts. That place that God has put forth for his people. Oh, and what a need there is to acknowledge our God. Oh, yes. To let him work in us. And I turn to the next place that I thought I should go. The 12th chapter of the book of Acts. Going to the end of this chapter, it talks about Herod, who had it, you know, at the beginning of this chapter, it tells us how he had killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and then he had taken Peter. Well, beautiful story goes on. God delivered Peter from out of his hand. But, you know, Judgment Day comes forth. You know, sometimes we might fret, sometimes we might worry about, you know, all the evil that we see in the world and how it seems sometimes that evil prevails. And oh boy, we are seeing it right now. Oh, so much wickedness. And you know, those that, you know, call evil good and good evil. You know, they put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And all these things, you know, that, you know, are now a part of the world that we live in. But here in this 12th chapter of Acts is Herod. Now we allowed James, the brother of John, to be killed with a sword, and then taken Peter, you know, here he is. It tells us after they had sought for Peter and they couldn't find him because God had delivered him out of the prison. And then, yeah, well, he put the keepers to death because obviously Peter got away. But anyway, it tells us here, verse 18. "Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode." Tells us in verse 20, "And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Zidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country." So a little bit of political things going on here, and you know, obviously they must have done some things to upset Herod, but you know, they're trying to bribe him or make him feel good, or because you know they want peace, obviously. And so whatever all here had happened here, and it came to pass, it tells us here, verse 21, "And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them." Oh boy. "And the people gave a shout, saying, It is the voice of a God and not of a man." You know, sometimes God's judgment falls very swiftly. In this case it did, as, oh yes, he gave this oration. He was dressed in royal apparel, and you know, he's sitting upon his throne, and all the people, oh, in their mood to try to appease him and, you know, make him feel very special, whatever all was in the making here, gave a shout saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." But God heard it. And it tells us in verse 23, "And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost." Oh, I tell you what, God is in charge of this world. And oh, he is a jealous God. And you know, he said, "My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images," as we read in Isaiah 42, verse 8. "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." Oh, they did not give God the praise. Oh, and so it was. God sent forth swift judgment. Intercept the pride of this man who allowed people to worship him as if he were a deity, as if he were God. God sent forth swift judgment. How wonderful it is if we can render our hearts to the Lord. If we could give him the praise and the glory that's due his precious name. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of the book of John, verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." What is our worth? What is our value? Oh, it's not much, is it? It's not anything. How we need to abide in the Lord Jesus. How we need to give him our lives. We cannot bear fruit of ourselves. Oh, we have to be fastened, you could say, to the living God. We have to abide in him. We have to be found in him. Oh, that blood that he shed on the cross of Calvary needs to be applied to our very being. We could not bear fruit of ourselves. It has to be only because we are abiding, we are living, we are dwelling in God and he in us. And praise the Lord, we are told here, yes, he is the vine and we are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Oh, yes, if we're connected to that vine. Oh, yes, if our whole life, is given over to the living God. If we're abiding in him, then praise the Lord. He says we're going to bring forth much fruit. Amen. But that's the only way we can do it. We can't do it of our own self or our own volition, of our own will. And you know, and just because we're whoever we are, because we have certain education, because we read certain books, because our father is, you know, somebody of importance, if that would indeed be the case. Oh, none of that is of significance with God. No, the need is to give the heart. Oh, yes, to turn the life over, to give glory unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to turn, yes, oneself over to the living God. For without me, ye can do nothing. Oh, yes, and you know, oh, the need is so great. It says in verse 6 here of John 15, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Here it is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." Oh, praise the Lord. We can give our lives over to the living God. Oh, praise the Lord. We have these moments. We know it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Spirit of the living God that we can go forth and do anything at all of our own self. There's nothing that we could do that's worth doing. Oh, it's only because God has had mercy on us, and God has called us. God has gathered us together as His children. And praise the Lord, here we are. Oh, we're here so that we can render praise unto the Lord, so we can give Him the fruit of our lips. Oh, yes. We could give Him the glory, the praise, and the honor that is due His wonderful, gracious name. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, the riches of His glory. And oh, yes, the wonderful blessings that He brings forth. And oh, yes, because, oh, He has done so much for us, and He has made Himself known unto us. We can give Him glory. We can give Him praise. We can turn our lives over to Him. We can offer the sacrifice of praise, as it tells us in Hebrews, that 13th chapter. And continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Oh, praise the Lord, the glory, the praise that is due our wonderful God. Oh, it's not unto us. Oh, but it's unto Him. It's unto His name. Give glory, give praise, give homage, give worship. Oh yes, you know, the heathen may wonder, we're, you know, they can't see Him, they don't know Him, but oh, praise the Lord, what a wonder if He has given us that insight to know that He is the living God, to know that we can bow our knee. Oh yes, even as Nebuchadnezzar was able to acknowledge that there was a God in the heavens who ruleth over the hearts of men. Oh, a God who is in charge of this world, who made this world and called it into order. And all things are in His hands. Oh, that's the mighty God that we serve. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just turn briefly here to Ephesians, the third chapter, as I get ready to close here tonight. Ephesians, the third chapter. Verse 16, it says in Ephesians chapter 3, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, what a wonderful blessing. If, oh, yes, God has come to dwell in our hearts, and He's given us that kind of faith that we might be rooted and grounded in His love and begin to comprehend the great love of God, that love that He has bestowed upon us, that we might become the sons of God. And as it tells us in verse 19 here, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, yes, to fill our hearts, our minds with the knowledge of the living God. Oh, yes, to give Him glory, to give Him honor, all that is due His great and wonderful name. This is in verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the churches by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And here we are tonight. Oh, a few decades have gone by, a few centuries have gone by since our Lord and Savior walked this earth. Oh, a lot of time has gone by since Paul penned it, this letter to the church at Ephesus. But praise the Lord. Oh, He is our God, and we can give Him glory. Oh, we can give Him the praise. We can turn our hearts, our attention over to the living God and serve Him. Oh, that wonderful God who has called us. As it says in Psalms 29 again, verses 1 and 2, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Oh, what a privilege to worship the Lord. What a privilege to give Him our hearts. Praise the Lord, our wonderful God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm so glad we can bow our knees to the Lord. I'm so glad we can lift our hands, our hearts unto the living God and worship and praise Him and give Him the glory that is due His name. Oh, that we have that insight, that knowledge. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank You, Jesus. We do worship You. We do praise You, Lord. Oh, we do surrender our hearts, Lord. We do worship You, Lord. Oh, God, let the glory, let the praise, oh, begin. Given to Thee, Lord, Thou Mighty One. Oh, the Mighty One that inhabits eternity. Oh, the One, oh Lord, who has given us hope. And we thank You, we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank our God, oh, our wonderful God who has saved us. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Thank You, God. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord.
Praise the Lord. In closing, we're going to open our chorus books to number 44 and sing Give Unto the Lord, number 44. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of praise the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. And you are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.